Hello everyone, welcome to another issue of Comic Chronicle. I am your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. But I have with me here some guys from my home state of Illinois. Hopefully still they haven't moved and I didn't just mess that up. Go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
Well, my name is Marcus on NASA. I'm the writer of Voracious, and yes, I still live in Illinois.
And I am Jason Muir, and I am the artist of Voracious, and I also live in Illinois, but not in the same place as Marcus
on. Close, but no cigar.
Jason lives in a field.
In a field.
He's deep in a field.
That's I actually live in a cupboard. I'm like Harry Potter. I live in a cupboard.
Well, in a field, I mean, you got to be more specific about Illinois. In case anybody hasn't visited Illinois, once you get to the southern part of Illinois, like a quarter of its city and suburbs, and once you get out of those, it's just fields.
Jason's way west suburbs. I'm near the city. He's like an hour and a half away. He's far.
Yeah. Where did you live in Illinois?
Oh, I lived in Sycamore, a little town next in DeKalb County, right next to DeKalb and NIU College.
Shout out to them. You know Elburn, right?
I got family in Elburn, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I probably know them, because there's only like 10 people in this town.
I got to remember which ones exactly, because they move around all over the place in there, so I got to make sure I got a bunch of family in Illinois. But welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Discussing Illinois podcast. Oh, God. So, guys, Markson, Jason, you guys have created a fantastic comic. I brought you on an old show, Dino Times, way back in the day. And Voracious comic. What can you two tell us about it to the people who are like, what the hell is Voracious?
Well, the main premise is it's about a chef who travels through time, kills dinosaurs, and serves them at a restaurant in the present. So that's the high concept pitch. But the comic has a lot more in it than just that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It really, like, I don't know if, I think I messaged you guys this before we did the, because you guys were in the second run of it, like the second part, it just introduced so many new things. Like, it really, if you think you know where the comic is going, folks, you don't. Like, these two guys here really created something that is like an M. Night Shyamalan comic. It just, it takes a different turn, it does all these crazy things, and it's really, really, really good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No problem, guys. I mean, it's the honest truth. I've loved it forever, and then you guys had the Kickstarter for the second run as well, too, right? It was this big, huge thing, and a lot of people helped donate money, and that was able to get the kind of second part of Voracious out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you break into comics, just amazing, you still have to kind of pay for your book. You don't really make a lot of money when you first start off, especially for an indie publisher. So, you know, we had a bunch of upfront costs for creating the book, like getting it colored. And so we just thought, oh, it would be a good idea to do a Kickstarter. We offer some limited edition rewards to people. And we were really nervous about it, but it was successful. So
yeah,
we're looking forward to trying it again.
That kind of leads me, you two, there was mention of a Kickstarter. So is there a Kickstarter for this third run? Because Action Lab did pick up for the third run, I saw. And major kudos to that, because they finally realized, listen, there's a fan serve, there's big fanfare out there for this book. They're like, okay, let's actually pick this up. Let's make some cash, because this book's big.
Yeah, so we are going to be launching the Kickstarter for the third and final arc of the book, entitled Appetite for Destruction, and the plan is to hopefully launch that beginning of May. We're kind of putting it together right now as we speak.
Okay.
We were going to just put out a trade paperback, because after the second volume completed, Action Lab wasn't 100% sure they were going to put it out. We had to know it was going to be a digital series, and then we were going to put out a trade paperback for people that wanted a physical copy. But recently we found out that Action Lab actually wants to do the series again as issues, and then put it out as a trade. So we have to retool the Kickstarter a little bit from what we originally planned. You know, it's a good problem to have. The sales for the book just keep ongoing, which is why Action Lab's like, hey, we'll green light that, no problem. So we're really thankful, and we love the opportunity to finish the book in print.
Yeah, and it's finally, it's one of those things, you know, I know myself, we wanted to see it kind of finish? Because I remember if long ago, how many, like, almost like we'd say chapters did you guys say you wanted to do? Like, was it three initially? Like, you wanted to have the three different stories to say?
Yeah, I mean, it was always planned to be three volumes, mm-hmm. About 15 issues, which is, it's basically what it'll be. I mean, the first series was four issues, but that first issue was double-sized. Mm. So when it's all said and done, it'd be about 15 issues worth of material. So at first, when the first time we started planning it, it was longer. But then Jason and I, we realized maybe we should cut it down a little bit because it's really hard to break into comics. Usually you don't break in with a long series. You break in with, you know, a three-issue mini-series or something like that. So mm-hmm. we're very lucky that we get to continue it because we have a lot of cliffhangers in the book. Oh, and, yeah. You know, we just wanted to give everybody who enjoys it a good ending.
Yeah, which is what I'm really looking for. I trust you guys with the ending of the series, by the way, because, wow. Like, you're right, there is a bunch of cliffhangers in the book, and that's why if you read all the books now, it's easier, like, not all the issues, well, almost all the issues are out now. It's easier to read because, in my opinion, it always kind of got me a little bit angry because then it'd leave on a cliffhanger, and then it's like, all right, now you got to wait till the next issue comes out. Damn it!
Well, you know, the thing with that is the old school comics were like that.
Yeah,
you know, there was no internet. There's no spoiling of what happened. You know, you got these books, there were big cliffhangers, and you had to wait. There was no way to get more information when I was growing up. And so when we crafted Voracious, I kind of wanted to have that in the book. Mm-hmm. But you just don't see it in many, many series these days.
That's true. That is very, very true. Now, can we give people a little bit of information on YouTube? So they're like, listen, who will we backing? Like, what is this book? Why should we care about these two guys? Jason, start off with you. Give your background. How did you kind of come into Voracious to who you are now? Like, what got you into your beautiful art and kind of got you involved in the comic?
Well, I've always wanted to draw comics since I was a kid. I went to art school. And I kind of put illustration on the back burner because I didn't think the lifestyle was for me. The freelance illustration lifestyle, they kind of scared me straight in art school. So I did graphic design for a little while. And then after a couple of years doing it, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go back to comics. And so I was looking to do a book. And a mutual friend had got Markson and I back in contact with each other. Markson used to be a customer at a comic shop I worked at when I was in high school. And, you know, he had a few ideas that he was playing around with, and he pitched them to me, and we crafted Voracious together. So that's kind of like the history of Voracious and the history of me getting into comics because it was honestly my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you know, I've done a little bit of work for Valiant, a little bit of work for Marvel, some fill-ins on some smaller indie publisher stuff. But, you know, always Voracious, too, in the background. So it's Voracious is pretty much the majority of my history in comics thus far.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to have on a resume, too, to say at least in my opinion. Maybe I'm being biased. Who knows? But it is good to have it. It'd be like, listen, because it's like, yeah, you worked for Marvel, which is big these days, and Valiant. But then you can say, like, listen, this is what shows my work and determination is I have. For both of you, this works. It's like, we have this book that we worked real hard on. It's an indie book and all this different stuff. Like, here's my thing, and here's the strength behind it. So that's really, like, the banner, I guess you could say, that you guys are waving.
It's getting to craft something that you're 100% invested in.
Yeah.
You know, you own everything about it. You know, the book is pretty much Markson and I, and our colorist Andre. So it's just the three of us putting together the entire mm-hmm. book. So all the decisions go through us. You know, it's... We want to make it the best book possible. So, you know, you're not going to slack on it because it represents you. It's your baby, you know, so you want to make it the best thing you can make it.
It's true, and I always love seeing your kind of photos that you do for Voracious on Twitter, by the way. I always like them. I'm like, oh, look at that. And it's like all these different things. Well, it's just a daily sketch or Appetite for Destruction stuff that it's been posting on there. Like, it's really cool. And I kind of wanted to tell you, I know your artwork's very beautiful because I've seen some copycats of it recently. I've got to send you a picture of it. Somebody did artwork that looks vaguely familiar to yours, to say the least.
Okay.
So I just want to let you know, like, it's that good that they're doing it. They're copycatting it. They're like, this guy's good. Let me try it on my own.
Yeah, Jason's amazing. I mean, his style's so clean, but the expressions on the characters, just, you always know kind of what they're thinking, and his storytelling is just, you know, A+. There's a lot of scenes I write where I just don't even want to put dialogue in because, you know, Jason can just pull off the scene without me getting in the way.
It's the eyes. I'd say it's the eyes that do it. They really do. I mean, because the eyes, you do a really good job of the eyes, so you're all right. It is that. So it's like the eyes and a little bit of the mouth tell it all, which is tough.
Thanks. You know, Voracious is sort of a yearbook of my comic work. You can track my progress through Voracious, you know. Definitely in the first few issues, I'm learning the ropes of comics. So this as a whole is like my training in comics, you know, learning certain things, trying certain things, experimenting. Really summarizes my career thus far.
Yeah. Which is really cool. It's really cool to see that. I'm not going to lie, because you can see, like, the progress and be like, this is what I have now. But they're like, oh, can we see the older? No, you cannot.
Oh, yeah, Jason hates showing the old stuff. I'm talking, like, stuff just from a couple pages ago.
Which is, it's good / bad, because it's like, you know you're getting better and better, but it's like, can I show that? No, it's secret. It's like, oh, we're going to put that in the Hogwarts as rumor requirement, to say the least. Oh, well, Marcus, I'm kind of going to you now, your side of this double-edged coin that has T-Rex and time travel on it. What can you say about your story with Voracious and you getting in the comics?
Well, I've been a writer a long time, but I just never got a comic book off the ground. I had written a few things here and there when I was younger, and I had some friends who were artists, but they never really committed to drawing the books. So I kind of put it in the background, and, you know, you get a job, and, you know, I was working for newspapers and magazines, and I really didn't think about comics too much, you know, aside from reading them. I've been a lifelong fan of comic books, of course, but it wasn't really until Morrison Con, which is a convention in Las Vegas. Grant Morrison, of course, the guest of honor, but it was a different kind of comic convention in that all the creators were there. You got to interact with them, talk to them about creating and the process of it. You got to play games with them. So it was like a community of people, not like you're just going to a place where you buy things or you get to meet celebrities. It was a lot more intimate. And there's just a lot of people there with a creative energy. In fact, a lot of people who were there came together and created their own anthology comic book. I didn't participate in it, but it was pretty cool that they were able to put that together. So a lot of people made friends. I made some friends who I think I'll have my whole life, and it just kind of inspired me to, you know, try again. And I've always had like a notebook full of ideas, so I found the idea for Voracious, which is you know, I was at a party like 10 years ago, and a friend of mine asked me that age-old question, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And I said I would want the power to manipulate time and space, because I could have anything I wanted. I could win the lottery. You know, I can go forward in time. I could get a lightsaber, a spaceship. But the first thing I do is I go back, and I make myself a dinosaur sandwich. Oh. So I jotted that down. And it just sat in a notebook, and then when I was flipping through and I decided I kind of want to do comic books, there was that idea. And I thought, I think I can do something with that. So, like Jason said, you know, we had a mutual friend, and, you know, we got together and I was able to pitch the idea. One thing from back then, in the comic shop, there was a writing contest online for this book called The Authority when it was coming out. And it was an with these characters. And so I did write a story, and I won that contest, and I had the script, and Jason was interested in drawing comics, so I gave him the script. He drew a few pages, then he left for college. I didn't see him again for like 10 years. And then like Jason said, we got together, gave him the pitch, and then I still had the artwork that he had done in the day of the when he worked at the comic shop when he was like 12. And I gave it back to him. So he forgot he even had done the artwork. He's a lot better now. Mm-hmm. So if you want to chart progress, it starts there, I think, maybe.
Can we see, Jason?
I suppose even earlier, probably. Ooh. When you were very little, Jason, but...
Could we perhaps see that in an exclusiveness? See that all old artwork? I mean, come on, it'd be kind of funny to see. Be like, listen.
Jason hates showing it. He may have burned it. I don't even know.
Is that true, Jason?
No, it's buried somewhere. Yeah, I get, you know. The thing about art is, like, it's just reps, you know? You're doing it every day, all day, and you can notice improvements. I mean, it's weird. I'll be drawing stuff now. I've been drawing for a few years now, and, you know, every once in a while I'll see a technique or I'll decide, like, oh, that's a better way to draw noses, you know? And you've been drawing noses for 4 years now, and all of a sudden it's like you've never drawn a nose before. Things like that. So, you know, you always got to be improving. So, like, yeah, I guess self-conscious about the earlier stuff just because, like, oh no, I see what I was doing wrong there, you know.
Yeah.
We've been doing third volume, you know. When we originally started working on it, we thought we were going to do it all as one large chunk, so I just started pumping out pages. So, you know, I'm about 60 pages into it. So when we started sending it to the colorist recently, I'm looking at those earlier pages, and it's all part of one piece. But even then, I could see stuff in, like, those first couple pages, and like, oh, I hadn't figured that out yet, you know.
Well, I bet you, though, if we look at your old writing, we can definitely tell a change in you, too. Oh, an evolution, to say the least.
Uh-oh, did we lose Markson?
Uh-oh. Oh, sorry, you guys are cutting in and out, but I think I'm back now.
Okay, alright. Damn you, Skype!
Have you improved with your writing?
Yeah.
Or were you perfect from the start?
Yes.
You know, no, I definitely improved. Yeah, I've joked before that I was perfect from the start. Jason's got that from, but yeah, I definitely improved. I mean, I think I've always been a good writer, and I've worked as a writer a long time. Mm-hmm. But writing comics is just different. You know, when Jason and I first got together, you know, we thought we knew everything about comics because we've been reading it for so long. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to put a book together, it's just not the same as that. So I think especially when we did the Ashcan first, which is a black and white version of Voracious, it was called Cretaceous, and it was longer, it was really wordy, you know, Jason didn't like the artwork, you know, it was stiffer, you know, and we shopped it around, and, you know, we realized that, hey, you know, we should go back and retool this a little bit, and because we got some advice from people. And, you know, I think we just got better just from doing it and talking about it. And you know, after that, I felt like I got a better handle on it. After we got that first issue under our belts, I felt like I had a better handle on writing. But, you know, I don't know. There's always going to be some issues that I really loved in the past. You know, there's a scene or something, but... You know, I do like writing the newer stuff, and I feel like, you know, without having done that stuff in the past or learning from something in the past, then I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now. So, yeah, man, it's tricks of the trade. It's just becoming familiar with it.
Yeah.
And just working on beats, story beats. You know, how is it going to unfold? You know, how is it going to read on the page? And, you know, I think that's something you constantly improve on as you go.
Take that into consideration, future comic book writers that are listening, because it was a beautiful way to put it, man. I'm not going to lie. It really was.
Thank you.
Of course. And kind of going into it a little bit more in a comic. Now, obviously, there's dinosaurs in the book, and we've talked about a long time ago your favorite dinosaurs you put in. But for this new, the third part, was there any dinos that, or creatures to say the least, was there any of those that you think you wanted, that you knew you wanted to put in and that you have in? Like something that was your, that you wanted to put in before, but you got your other favorites, but now this is your other favorite that you wanted to put in for them?
Well, I can answer that because I just wrote it. Jason doesn't even know about it.
Uh-oh.
But, well, he knows, he actually knows, I was thinking about this because we talked about it, but I really want an aquatic dinosaur. We have not seen any dinosaurs in the water, but we will. I guess that's all I'll say, but yeah, Jason hasn't seen what it is or anything, so it's a surprise, Jason.
I think we had talked about some aquatic dinos. I was always freaked out by aquatic dinos when I was a kid. To me is more terrifying. There's one thing about being, like, running from a T-Rex, but you could see that T-Rex. Aquatic dinos, you don't know where it's coming from.
That Mosasaurus in Jurassic World must have made you piss your pants then.
Oh, wow.
I kind of understand that, but right, my younger sister, though, she's the complete opposite. Like, she loves the aquatic creatures so much, but she's like, I like it way more. And so, for some odd reason, she's like, Mosasaurus is my favorite. I'm like, all right, I guess. I guess you see where you're going, but wow. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, another thing that I think we worked in the third volume, which came about, you know, later on, was for anyone that's read the second volume of the book, there's just a one page scene of some dino commandos that Marcus Son had written in the book, sort of as just like maybe a one off thing. He didn't know where it was going to go with it, but he had liked the designs I had done for the dino commandos, so they got an extended action scene in the third volume coming up.
Let me say this though. Jason didn't just draw them. I like that. Jason came up with little stories for each one. You know, like what their specialties were. And I was like, well, now I have to put them in the book more because you spent all this time, you actually thought about it as you were drawing.
Wow.
So they get a little bit more screen time in volume three.
Oh, I'm now remembering those. I remember. Oh, damn. Jason, is that your dino though that you want in the third one?
What, the dino commandos?
Yeah, was that your dino that you wanted in? You're like, oh, let's not just have any ordinary dino. Let's have the commandos.
No, you know, I think the aquatic dino. I didn't pitch the dinos to Marcus Hunt. He voluntarily put them in because I'll let you know the secret too. One of the things is I thought these dinos were going to only appear once. Oh. So I designed these intricate costumes for them, and they're all covered in guns and knives and stuff. Mm. Thinking like, well, we'll never see them again. I won't have to draw any of that again. And then I get an extended action scene with them. I had to really rethink. You know what? Maybe they aren't covered in 10,000 guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason made a huge mistake there. Like, the more effort he puts in, the more I'm like, well, I got to keep that going.
That is true. They're like, well, that's pretty cool. Let's continue it. And secretly, I mean, Jason, you're probably like, oh, cool. Yeah, that's great. And then in the inside of your head, shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always try to put in something new with dinosaurs. Now, we're limited in our book because when they go to the Cretaceous, we only feature dinosaurs from the Cretaceous, and we only feature dinosaurs that were native to Utah during the Cretaceous.
Yeah.
Now, when we go to the future realm, those dinosaurs, it's a free-for-all. Mm. But even those, you know, we do introduce a couple new characters from that, just to keep it a little fresh, just to do something a little different.
Yeah.
They might not be big players, but it's just interesting visually.
Mm. It's which is always a neat little detail that you guys did that too in the book. And unless you know paleontology, I mean, I've worked in paleontology before in the past, so I kind of see that nod sort of thing in there. And to people who don't, that's really cool that you guys took the time, you took the effort, and be like, listen, let's do these only in Utah, these specific ones here during the Cretaceous. Like you said, that really does limit you, but it was cool because you guys still at least had a T-Rex in there, too. So that was nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really why I picked the Cretaceous, because I always heard that, you know, in your Jurassic Park, huge movie, T-Rex didn't live in the Jurassic period. So I always remember that, and I was like, well, when we do our book, doing the Cretaceous, because that's when the T-Rex actually lived.
Yeah.
So you guys just neat that there's so many other dinosaurs that I didn't know about. Like the Therizinosaurus, the Edward Scissorhands of dinosaurs. Didn't really know that existed.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the ones that came up with are just from research. Like, oh man, this came up. And with the aquatic dinosaur that we're going to be doing, I actually looked up how, you know, what was there water around that area? Mm. And there was. There actually was.
Oh, it
was, yeah, the United States was split. And there was a seaway that went right through those southwestern states. And it's perfect. It was
wow.
perfect. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
I didn't know that. Wow.
It just worked out.
Wow, that's cool. And you know, you guys had the you did put the T-Rex in there, but man, you were cruel to it in the first story arc. Like, you just, and spoiler alert, folks, he got shot in the head. Like, it's not even, like, I remember that back when we talked on the old show about it, like, you really did, like, I was wondering, like, did he like T-Rex or did he hate T-Rex as a kid? Because they executed it with extreme prejudice.
Well, you know, it's just, T-Rex is always the ultimate enemy.
Yeah, that's true.
What would happen if you just had a, you know, perfect headshot on it? Well, just falls like everything else, you know?
That is true.
I just like that idea of it, you know, that's not the main nemesis. We don't need to showcase T-Rex. Everybody's seen that a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't seen him just, like, shot through the head with an explosive bullet.
No.
In 2 seconds.
No.
So, I just like that idea of it. And Jason, like, really did it justice.
Yes.
On those pages. I loved it.
For sure. Are you kidding? Like, oh. Well, and that's one thing I gotta say, folks, if you're reading this book, or before you go read it, is it is pretty gory. Like, there is some blood and guts here, there's some skinning of things, like, you just, I think, does it say mature readers on the cover?
Yeah, it does. We have a warning label that we put on everyone. Mm. We're part of Action Lab Entertainment is our publisher, but we're in the Danger Zone imprint,
yeah.
And that is for mature readers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd say it's probably for, like, 13 and up. If what do you think, Jason?
Yeah.
Like, I would say there's some language, just violence. There's definitely there's no sex, but there's adult themes and situations, I would say.
Violent like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which
if
is
you, if you thought the previous volumes were violent, there's some gory stuff.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Sure.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, there's one scene I sent it to Jason and I think he was like, "Whoa, that's a little gonna be tricky."
I have I don't want to spoil anything because I have guesses.
Some really graphic stuff.
The thing is, I want Jason to learn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to educate him on physiology and dinosaurs. You know, I'm a little older than him. So I feel like it's my job to be a mentor.
Yeah, and to show him this is the real world, man.
He pulls it off every single time. Because Jason, the thing with Jason is, like, I'll ask him to do something like that, and he'll go the extra mile to, like, really, well, what the hell would that look like? You know, he spends the time. You know, he doesn't just, like, oh, I'll just draw whatever. He actually spends the time to figure out what it might look like in real life if it actually happen. So I love that.
An expert in that area is going to be reading your book and they're going to say, like, oh, that vertebrae is not there, the neck wouldn't sever like that.
Oh, I bet money, no in the field, man. Oh, there's somebody there. There is someone. Don't think otherwise. Oh, wow. Well, going in, just wrapping up a little bit here, guys, because I don't want to take too much of your time, but the Kickstarter. Is there anything you guys can tell us about it so far, or is it still in major development?
What do we want to say, Jason? We're going to have really good... Should we tell them about the first issue? We have that pretty much set.
Hmm. Yeah, so the Kickstarter... I mean, it's going to be very similar to the Volume 2 Kickstarter, in that we will be offering the first issue, but this time the issue will be, I want to say, triple-sized.
Holy crap.
It's going to be 60 pages.
Wow.
And that actually might be different from the comic you get in shops, because that will probably be broken up into two issues when it arrives in stores eventually. Mm-hmm. So you participate in the Kickstarter, you can get basically the first two extra size issues at once. You know, you're going to get a whole huge chunk of the story.
Mm-hmm. Which is our preferred way to put it out. We kind of want to do it like we did the very first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Should we tell them about the covers, or should we keep that secret?
I don't know. I feel like we should keep them secret. We can tell you what they're sort of alike. They're they're two covers. So I had actually just sent Marcus on the cover designs maybe 2 weeks ago. I just went crazy trying to come up with covers because I feel like with Kickstarter you can go a little wackier with the covers than you would say in the store. So there were two covers that the two of us both instantly gravitated towards, and we could not decide which one we liked better. I think Mark sounded like one a little better, and I liked another one a little bit better, but we both liked both of them. Mm-hmm. So we said, you know, what the hell, why don't we just do two covers? So the Kickstarter is actually going to feature two different variants for issue one. So you could get either one, or you can get both.
Ooh. Yeah, and they're going to be wrap covers. So, I mean, they're going to be... They're going to be pretty great. I'm pretty excited about them.
Oh, man. The last Kickstarter was so amazing. I actually still have. It's hanging up on my wall, that Kickstarter edition comic. It's hanging up on my wall right now that it's got my name in it, and that print that you guys signed, too, in the mail, and the buttons, they're up on my wall.
Oh, cool, like, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, no joke. Like, that's cool. And I hope that's part of the Kickstarter, too, because it'd be really cool. Because I remember before, it's like, you guys put people's names in, I believe, or it's like people are drawn
we'll
into.
We'll do that for sure, yeah. Yeah, we'll have a new t-shirt as well. Ooh. We can say that. I won't tell you what it is yet, but we're going to have a new t-shirt. I'm pretty excited about that one. And I just wrote up all the rewards. So we're going to have a couple pretty unique things. I have one that I actually haven't even talked to Jason about. We will. So we're still working on it because, you know, we want it to be as good a Kickstarter as we can put out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to make it special. So I think we're doing it. We're taking a little extra time. Like I said, we thought we were going to do trade paperback, so we were planning for that. And now that's the issues, we kind of had to retool it a little bit and just think of something else to do with it. But I think people will enjoy it.
Cool. And don't worry, my money will definitely go towards it.
Oh, thank you, Dakota. I appreciate that.
Of course, of course. And, you know, maybe is there room? I know you guys are still writing a story. Is there room for a little old podcaster that you guys maybe may not be talking to right now to be in there? I don't care. Name chopper, be featured in it. You could kill me. If you really wanted to kill someone in there, you could be like, and just kill this guy. Oh, what is he? Oh, he was just a network owner or a movie director or a podcaster. Any one of those are fine.
Well, you know, you have to wait for when the Kickstarter comes out because, you know, that may be possible for you.
That is true. That is true.
I'll say.
Ooh.
You know, maybe someone that could be used as bait.
Hey, I'm fine with that. Sacrifice for the greater cause. Oh, that'd be amazing. That would be amazing. Well, thank you guys for coming on. It's been an absolute blast. But where can people find you at? Like, where can they follow you guys at? Follow Voracious at, too? Because I don't want to take up any much more of your guys' time because it is late where you guys are.
Well, you can follow Voracious on Twitter or Facebook. It's at Voracious Comic on Twitter, and then just search for Voracious Comic on Facebook. And then my website is marcuson.com, and I'm also on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a website, jasonmuir.com, M-U-H-R, and then I'm on Twitter, jasonmuir as well.
Cool. Thank you, guys. And people, go follow him. Like, in all honesty here, go follow him. It's worth the time. Jason posts good stuff. Marcuson, you post good stuff, too. It's a blast. And make sure you guys follow Voracious. If listening to this has not got you to listen to it, I mean, I made sure I was spoiler-free. I don't know about you guys. We made sure we were kind of spoiler-free on this. But it's tough for this book, you know? Especially in the second part and the ending of the first. Like, it is extremely tough to try to keep it spoiler-free.
Yeah, that's true. It is a challenge. Hopefully people get to read it fresh, but, you know, any new readers will be welcome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jason puts up a lot of images from the book on his Twitter, and we're always doing updates on the site, so definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if the book sounds interesting to you, you can find it on Amazon. There's two volumes out right now. Mm-hmm. Each one has five issues in it. And the third one will be available via Kickstarter in a month.
Yeah.
Well, you order on Kickstarter. It won't be finished.
I'm not. Like, wow, that's some...
I'm over the halfway point in terms of drawing it, but you can pledge for it in about a month.
We'll be at C2E2 in a couple weeks, actually, which is the big comic book convention in Chicago. So if anybody's in the area or is traveling, I know it's a pretty huge convention nowadays, and we get a lot of people from out of state. We will be at P9 in Artist Alley. I think that's right.
So, somewhere.
Love books, I'll be doing sketches, shaking hands, high-fiving.
Yeah. Well, guys, C2E2, I don't. You guys have been there in the past, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That gets a
this
great...
This is our third year, Jason?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's our third year.
Wow. C2E2's together doing it, yep.
Mm. C2E2 is an amazing con. Like, I really wish I could go back. I really do. But it's just so expensive to go to the 1 or 2 days there, to say the least, coming to the Phoenix. It really is. C2E2, oh, it's amazing. Amazing. You guys always have good guests, too, including yourselves.
Yeah, this year's huge. It's. I feel like it's the biggest year yet. I think I heard that they expanded it into a new hall.
Ooh.
They did, and the guests are amazing. They've got Mark Miller. They've got Brian Bendis. I mean, they just added Chris Claremont.
Oh.
I mean, it's huge. What I like about C2E2 is it is on the scale of, like, well, almost, of New York City Comic Con or some of the bigger events. But there's a real focus on comics. I mean, they get celebrities. They get people from, you know, all walks of life and different nerd mediums, but it's always centered on comics. And I love that about it, because that's what I go to the conventions for, is the comics. And to have that be our hometown show, that's a huge show that's focused on the genre that I love and work in, is just phenomenal.
That is so true. And it's like... I can't talk enough. I'd have to do an episode on C2E2. That's for another podcast, because it's so amazing. Like, I've only been there once, and I still wish I could go back, like, even compared to Phoenix. But, like, if you guys come out to Phoenix, by the way, or if I'm out in Illinois visiting family, I'll be sure to hit you guys up, because I am buying you guys dinner for all the hard work you've done.
Thanks. We're going to do Portland, Rose City Comic Con. I don't know how close that is to Phoenix, but we're definitely doing that together. We've been planning that for a while.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That's in September, Jason?
Yeah, September. We'll be out in Portland.
Maybe make a trek up there. That one's really good, too. You guys, have you guys ever been to that one, or no?
No.
Oh,
no, first time at the show.
Ooh,
I've never even been to Portland, so...
Oh, well, that'll do it. No, it's a really good con. You guys, I've known a few people who go up there almost every year, and are part of it, and always guests and whatnot, and so they always tell me it's a blast. So you guys are really in for a good show in Portland.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, we like to do something a little bit different and get out of our little area. So, you know, that's something Jason threw out as a possibility. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
So, it's on.
Yeah, or come to Phoenix. I mean, the doors are open for you guys. Come on.
That'd be cool, too. You know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think we're kind of scaling back a little bit this year so we could work on projects.
Oh, understandable.
As opposed to last time. But now that the book's going to be coming out in print, you know, I'm sure we'll do signings around here and maybe, you know, take a couple road trips. Mm-hmm. Not too far, but we'll do more signings. But as far as cons go, we don't have huge plans. We're not doing something like every month. So...
Fantastic. Well, folks, that's where you go find him at. You can see him in person, or you can follow him online. It's beautiful either way, and make sure you check out Voracious. It is an absolute wonderful book. And if you haven't checked it out yet, or by the end of this podcast, if you are not inclined to go read Voracious, and I don't know what to tell you. Really. Really. Well, thank you, Marcuson. Thank you, Jason, for coming on, guys. It's been an absolute blast. And of course, you guys are always welcome back onto the show anytime.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Dakota. Yeah. And we will come back anytime. Just let us know.
Sweet. Of course. Well, thank you, guys. I will let you go, and you guys have a good night, okay?
Have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining another episode of Comic Chronicle. It has been a blast talking to them. Thank you guys for coming on. Hopefully go check out Voracious, the book. Definitely, definitely worth it. So, you can follow FanCorp Network, which Comic Chronicle is part of, and follow all the Comic Chronicle news and such. at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram, and go ahead and then follow us on Facebook at the FanCorp Network, and make sure you check out the FanCorp Network YouTube page. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and stay classy, Fossil Creek.